221B Baker Street, London. As the residence of genius private detective Sherlock Holmes, it's one of the most famous fictional addresses in the world. But it's also a real building in London with a mystery all its own. No one really knows who owns it. Well, Sherlock Holmes isn't around to solve the case for obvious temporal and fictional reasons, but real-life geopolitics reporter for Quartz, Max de Haldevang, took on the case.
The UK has made a big deal of bringing transparency to its ownership of property in recent years and its ownership of companies.
Max started his investigation with a registry that lists the owners of every company registered in the UK.
Now, you go on to the holding company that this Baker Street property is owned through, and it says there's no person of significant control. How can that be? Officially, that means that the only possibility, assuming the paperwork has all been done correctly, it's illegal to falsify that, that means that there are more than five owners. No one can own more than 20% of it.
The game was afoot.
So we looked at that and said, okay, so who is the real owner? And we went on this sort of long voyage that goes through an Austrian murder investigation, a Swiss shell company, a 2 million euro yacht in the British Virgin Islands named Nomad, and finally ended up in Kazakhstan with the help of the Panama Papers.
Well, the characters in this expanding mystery would eventually grow to include longtime president of Kazakhstan, Nursultan Nazarbayev, and further reveal the tangled web of London's shadowy real estate dealings. But first, Max de Haldevang went back to where it all started at 221B Baker Street, London.
It's a very well-heeled area around there. You're just next to Regent's Park, which is a lovely big green space. And you walk along just out from the tube station, you come across this row of Georgian houses, a very pretty row. And next to them is a massive Art Deco building, quite handsome Art Deco building. Now, that is actually where the original 221B Baker Street, the home of Sherlock Holmes, is. Obviously, that around the world is known as an address for, you know, Britain's most famous gentleman crime fighter, this great scourge against criminals. But we've put out an investigation last week that reveals that actually this represents no longer Britain's great sort of upstanding legal past, but rather it's now London's new role as a mecca for global, international, offshore money coming into the UK capital from countries with serious problems with corruption.
And how certain are you now that the family of Nursultan Nazarbayev actually own a significant chunk of 221 Baker Street and the surrounding block?
What we can say is that we know that Nazarbayev's grandson, Nurali Aliyev, who used to be deputy mayor of Kazakhstan's capital, that he owned this yacht via the same British Virgin Islands company. So he owned a yacht via this British Virgin Islands company. That same company was ultimately the same owner of the Baker Street properties. So there's an extremely close tie between those two. And there's an extremely close tie between all the officials that he got to do paperwork for these things. So he had the same nominee director appear on the companies that own the yacht and the companies that own, or he had, there was the same nominee director for the companies that own the yacht and the companies that own the building, and for separate companies that this grandson has been involved with. So there are lots and lots of links. Do we have a piece of paper showing this? No, we don't. But mainly this is really a question of how much corporate secrecy there is in the offshore world. You know, we've got, even with this big trove of files from the Panama paper, from big legal investigations, we can't say definitively, because there are all these things his lawyers creates layer upon layer upon layer that only law enforcement with subpoenas can get to the bottom of. And even that takes months and months.
Now, I mean, so many stories about this new identity for London, the home for international, sometimes shady cash to be parked, maybe for Russian oligarchs or their cronies. In this case, why would the Nazarbayevs want to park $100 million in property in London?
It's a little bit more than that. It's $180 million. I mean, there are a few reasons, really. I mean, these are the president's offspring, his grandson and possibly his daughter, who are tied to this property. If it is them who own it, their reasons for doing so there are a few. I mean, one, you want to get the capital out of the country, because if there is a change in leadership, you want to make sure you have a lot of money that you can flee to that they're unable to grab in a jurisdiction that has, you know, safe rule of law, rather than in Kazakhstan, where if someone else took over and all the courts are pliant, they could easily seize that property. And number two is, this is an office building, an apartment building. All those things are rented out. It's different from a lot of properties we see from owned by oligarchs. They're rented out and they'll be raking in a ton of money in rent in this very prestigious address.
I mean, this is a bit of fun because it's the Sherlock Holmes address, of course, but there's some very serious issues embedded in this story, of course, Max. People must be sounding the alarms in London, not only that so many hundreds of millions and billions in sometimes shady foreign cash are essentially being hidden in London properties, but that it's so very hard to track. It's so very hard to know who's protecting their money in London real estate.
Right, exactly. I mean, the figure that an NGO called Transparency International has come up with is £4.2 billion worth of British property or London property they estimate is owned by people with suspicious wealth. And you know, there are 10, I think it's 86,000 properties in the UK where we have no idea who the owners are. Now, this becomes a serious issue when you look at things like the poisoning of Sergei Skripal, the Russian-British agent, allegedly by the Kremlin. So there's been a lot of news about this idea of seizing oligarchs' houses who are close to the Kremlin, because you wonder how they fund an operation like that. You know, presumably there's a lot of expenses in getting this poison over to the UK, getting agents in with, you know, false passport, who knows. How do they have money there locally into the UK when it's very difficult to launder back into the country? Could it be from properties owned by people close to the Kremlin that they're renting out and getting rent into a British bank account that doesn't have the same international money laundering controls, perhaps, and from there are able to pay over to the assassins?
Alex, what about British pride here? I mean, this isn't just any old office building that might be owned in any metropolis. This is 221 Baker Street, the home of Sherlock Holmes. I mean, this is worse than finding out that 4 Privet Drive, Harry Potter's house, is owned by some Russian oligarch.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's literally as bad as it could be. And you're right. It just goes to show that all these, and you know, it's not just Britain. I mean, Britain is really one of the worst, but the US is just as culpable for a lot of these issues. You know, we go around preaching transparency and anti-corruption, and we go teaching other countries, developing countries, how they should have their systems and institutions. And yet we are letting in all their most corrupt money or allegedly corrupt money into our shores that we profit from. And they point at that and go, hey, what's going on here? You know, we do all these things to sort of tie up corruption at home, but when it's looted from our budget, you're the ones who receive it.
Well, Max, it's certain that you got a lot further than Scotland Yard would have gotten if this were a Holmes novel, that's for sure, before the detective himself stepped in. So this real-life detective work is something to be proud of. So congratulations, Max de Haldeving, geopolitics reporter for Quartz. Thanks, Max.
Thanks very much. Pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.